Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what Psalm 34 says. God is called the fountain of life, and we are compelled to drink our fill from the river of His delights. Wow, we don't see too many people drinking from the river of life these days, do we? On the contrary, we see practically everyone everywhere weighed down by depression and hopelessness, or they're unfulfilled and life has no real meaning. Well, it is time for you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Stay tuned for Skies Revival Radio.
Behold, the house of God has come. He shall dwell among us, and we shall be His people. God Himself, He shall.
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We're glad you joined us today. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking closely at the pertinent topic of the law and grace. We have seen that God gave us the law, that is, the Ten Commandments, in order to define what righteousness is, what righteousness looks like to God. We showed that in Deuteronomy 28, God determined blessings to those who keep the law and punishment to those who disobey. We then analyzed just how often we break the Ten Commandments in a single day, and that firmly established that we are in serious trouble. But now we can start to understand the good news which the gospel of Jesus represents. We're going over a study called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life, and we're covering Lesson 4 today in case you're following along in the book. If you don't have the book, it's available on Amazon or as a download on our website, theskies.org. The hard copy is loaded with funny cartoons that illustrate the points. I think you'll enjoy it. Again, it's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. Now, back to the subject. You see that there is a specific order to God's revelation to man, and it is for a purpose. And the purpose is this. God first sent the law, the Ten Commandments, in order to cause men everywhere to understand their sin. He established the law that their sin might be defined. It's very similar to a parent who is correcting a little child. In nearly every case, the child will excuse himself by saying, "I didn't know," or "You never told me." And we're all notorious for making up excuses for our bad behavior. But the law, the Ten Commandments, once and for all time, tells us exactly what God expects of us. There are no more gray areas. When that was revealed and accomplished, he sent his Son to be our Savior to save us from our sins. The Apostle Paul says it well. He says, "Therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ that we may be justified by faith." You see, the law is defining the sin that's in our life that we can reach out to Jesus to be justified by faith. And it is this being justified by faith that distinguishes Christianity from every other religion of the world. Christianity is a religion of grace. In contrast to that is a religion of works. That means a code of behavior is established, and those who live up to the standard go to heaven or a heaven-like place when they die. Those who are interested in going to the heaven-like place begin a rigorous lifestyle of trying to obey the religion, and hence it is called a religion of works. It's based on how well they perform or live up to the religious code. They adhere to severe bodily regimens. They do all types of service. They make all types of sacrifices, all for the purpose of attaining approval in order to go to heaven. And those who don't understand Christianity also try to use it in the same way. They try to measure how good they are by how closely they follow the rules. Each church has set up its own set of rules and regulations, and the measure of whether they are approved or saved is based on how well they live up to the church's expectations. But when they do that, they turn Christianity into a religion of works. Right now, as we are discovering the effects of breaking the law, your first impulse will normally be to start trying hard to be good. But here's another twist. Christianity is not based on how well we keep the laws of God. The Bible does not say if we keep so many laws, so much of the time we'll go to heaven. Christianity is a religion of grace, and that means our salvation is not based on how well we do at keeping the laws of God, and that's a good thing. Why? Because otherwise we'd all be convicted and hung. Think how many times in one day we break the first commandment alone by having things in our lives that we love more than God. So if it were up to us and our ability to be good, none of us could make it. And that's precisely what the Bible does say. The book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understand. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Then it goes on to say, The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. With these words, we can clearly see that if Christianity were a religion of works, all of us would be condemned. And that's because we all are condemned. We break God's laws from morning till night in ways we don't even know about. We sin continually in our thoughts and actions, and even the few good things we do are polluted with impure motives of wanting to be recognized. Sin separates us from God. God is life. He is the fountain of life. He is the source of all true life and all true happiness. And in Him is joy and peace and fulfillment. Psalm 36, verse 8 and 9 says, "They drink their fill of the abundance of thy house. You give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we see light." Psalm 34 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." When we sin, we push ourselves farther and farther away from Him. And since He is the very essence of life, and He is the one who contains all of the things that you're looking for so desperately to fulfill your life, when we are separated from Him, we are automatically separated from all that is pleasing and rewarding and joyful and satisfying. And that leaves us very empty. And then, because we feel so terrible, what do? We go out and we sin harder and more than before in a desperate attempt to make life seem exciting again. Of course, that makes us receive more penalties, more separation, so we feel even worse. So our lives get drier and drier. This is the general condition of many people today, and even many people in the church, because no one talks about the penalty of sin anymore. It is a subject that is overlooked and glossed over today. And the result of it is many people are very depressed because they haven't dealt with sin. Now I'm going to tell you about the quicksand effect. As we begin to find out what God's laws are, and then find out that there are huge blessings attached to obeying them, you naturally want to start obeying so that you can get out of the trouble you're in. But unfortunately, we are like people who are in a pit of quicksand. Not just any quicksand, we are struggling in the quicksand of death. We are dying and will drown if we aren't rescued. And then someone calls to you from the shore and tells you there is safe, solid ground just a short distance away. As you look, you can see people who have been rescued from the same pit, walking around safe and happy. The solid ground is God's word, God's salvation, God's protection, God's blessing on your life. When you see it, you have an automatic reaction of struggling to get there. You're frightened of drowning and want to get to safety. So you struggle to be good, but as you make determined resolutions, you find out it is to no avail. You keep going back to your bad habits. Unfortunately, that's the nature of quicksand. The harder you struggle, the deeper you sink. The quicksand of death is your sins. Your sins are pulling you down to eternal death, and no matter how you struggle, you cannot save yourself. You are condemned by your sins, and you can't stop sinning, even if you want to. There are many people listening today who know what I'm talking about. You've tried to overcome your addictions, your bad habits, and the more you try, the worse you do, and you fall flat on your face, and you just can't even figure out what to do. That's the quicksand of death. Even those who struggle to be good can't reach safe ground. So there's only one thing you can do. Cry out for help. Cry out to Jesus for help. As you reach the point of utter despair, as the emptiness of your life makes your world devoid of meaning, as you find you're simply going through the motions of living, but there is no joy, call out to God. As you humble yourself before God and turn to Him for help, a surprising thing happens. Jesus will come right down to the pit and offer to pull you to safety. As you take hold of His strong arm through repentance and trust, He will begin to lift you right up out of the quicksand. By holding on to Him by faith, you will actually be rescued. He will pull you out and set you on firm ground, where you would have only perished in your sins and the punishment of the law. God, through Jesus, reaches out to you and says, "I will pull you to safety." No religion can do that one act which God does. He does something that is totally beyond our ability and rescues us when we have no way to keep from perishing. He saves us without regard for the fact that it was our own willful disobedience that got us into the quicksand in the first place. He rescues us as though we were His own lost brother or sister about to drown. When Jesus took our punishment by dying in our place, it gave Him the authority to rescue those who are drowning in sin. And that's why people who have been saved love Jesus so much. He is their rescuer. He is their lifeline. They would be dead if it weren't for Him. In fact, they couldn't even reach out or hold on to Him if it weren't for His supernatural touch giving them strength. Even the strength to reach out is a gift from God. The Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." That's Ephesians 2, verse 8. And that is exactly right. There is no way that we can get free of our sins. We can't get clear of our bad habits. We can't get clear of these things. And because of that, we cannot be good enough to enter heaven. The only way to enter heaven is to cry out to Jesus, confess our sins, and believe in Him. And then He will lift us up out of the quicksand of death. He will forgive us of our sins. He will wash us. And as we cling tightly to Him, He will cleanse our sins from us. This is the miracle of a salvation which is totally outside of us. This is the grace of God. In a recent issue of a popular magazine, the back cover showed a man unabashedly embracing another. As you read the story, you found out that one man had just saved the other from certain death. There was an unashamed bond between them. The rescued man was proud to be seen embracing his rescuer by millions of people. In the same way, we who have been rescued by Jesus have an unashamed love and gratitude toward Him. He is our Savior. Let's pray together. I would like you to join me as we come before the Lord today to make a brand new start in Jesus. Lord, we come before You and we ask You to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all of our sins, that You would make us to be new creatures in Christ brand new with a brand new life and a brand new start. Lord, we need your help because we can't get away from our old habits. We can't get away from our sinful behavior. We get caught in it so easily. We can't break free of the lust of the internet. We can't get free of our desire for all the things of the world that are so contrary to you. Today, Lord, we ask you to cleanse us, to forgive us, and to grant us that awesome salvation that comes from your hand. Lord, we confess our sins and we receive the gift of your salvation, the gift of your cleansing through faith in Jesus. Lord, make us into those new creatures that we might be blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of a perverse generation. Lord, thank you for the salvation that is by grace. Thank you for the salvation that is by your unmerited favor. Thank you, Lord. You are our rescuer. Hallelujah. Amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
Set us free. not helpless victims of the past. Tears and pain are done at last. Looking back, we can't escape. Instead, we